This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Victoria's in for Dennis Cox. I get the feeling Dennis is going to show up again later in the show anyway.
I'm sure.
Yeah, that's what he does. Just take PTO, man. It's all right. Just stay away. Just, you know, recharge the batteries. It's what we all do. Maybe Victoria will barricade herself inside the studio. I don't know.
Who knows? It's possible.
Why not?
Let's go.
Why not? And Dennis can't get back in. But you know what? He has access through the internet. It's a dangerous place. And the internet actually gives us a lot of sound. And we'll do
that. The wall of sound is a function of this studio. There's no doubt about it.
I like that you're right on top.
I try to be. I'm eager.
Yes, very good. No, very outstanding. Less of me, more of that. All right, here we go. We are going to get to some Serena Williams things, but we started the show, very first thing we talked about today, the injury to Sam Hartman, which obviously, especially for those of our listeners in the triad, although Wake Forest is anywhere, private school, the Sam Hartman, it's not an injury, the medical condition that will keep him out indefinitely. He had a surgical procedure last night, and he's not going to start the season. We will let Dave Clawson with this update from today's practice for the Demon Deacons.
He had a medical procedure that was non-football related. We expect him to be back. It's too early to tell exactly what that timeline is. So anything you say is just speculation right now, but, you know, we expect him to be back, and, you know, as it goes along, we'll get a better idea. So completely unfootball related, and, you know, I'm just very grateful to our weight staff, our training staff, our team doctor, Dr. Miles, the people at Wake Forest Baptist. Really what transpired over those 12 hours is just really incredible healthcare.
So he's already had a procedure done of some sort?
Yep, and he's out here today, and he's good. So, you know, again, it was not related to football, and just one of those things that could happen to any one of us. So he'll be fine.
All right, first of all, that's good, the prognosis for Sam Hartman returning to health. Excellent. All right, that's the most important thing. Positive vibes to Hartman and his family. Hopefully he'll be okay, and hopefully he can return to the team. I mean, he's with the team, but hopefully he can return to action. Wake Forest can be really, really good with Sam Hartman. Obviously, they will be limited offensively with Mitch Griffiths, who will take over in the interim for him. There are things they cannot tell you at Wake Forest legally. So if he does not want the nature of his illness, his medical condition, released, they are not allowed to do so. So that's why it's just going to remain sort of, well, not sure. And that's fine. Now to the retirement, the pending retirement, although she has not had a press conference to announce that it's it. Serena Williams, best ever in women's tennis. And if you wanted to argue best ever in tennis, I ain't going to fight you on it. Was asked a question about what keeps her essentially hungry in her sport.
At this point in your career or your life, what is it that continues to drive you or keeps you hungry in the sport?
I don't know. I guess there's just a light at the end of the tunnel.
What is that like?
I don't know. I'm getting closer to the light, so that's... Yeah, so that's like, lately that's been it for me. I can't wait to get to that light.
I know you're joking, but can you...
I'm not joking.
Okay, so then explain to me what the light is to you, what the light represents.
Freedom. I love playing, though. It's like, it's amazing, but, you know, it's like, I can't do this forever. So it's just like, sometimes you just want to try your best to enjoy the moments and do the best that you can.
See, here's the thing with Serena. I think if she hadn't been hurt, if she hadn't been away from actively playing for a year, and she was. Yeah. Her first round loss at Wimbledon was her first match in a year. If that had not been the case, then I think she could still be a top tier player and she might continue playing. But eventually, your body just can't recover and do it at the level it used to do it.
No.
And I think she's dealing with that. I don't anticipate this happening because it does sound like in her mind, she's ready.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in her last 11 U.S. Opens, I think I read this today. In her last 11 U.S. Opens she didn't play last year, she's made it to at least the semifinals.
Wow.
Which, of course, is dumb.
Yes. yes.
Incredible. If that happened again...
Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We're talking retirement and coach. I'm a simple guy, but I like colors. Tell me how I can color code money and get ready for retirement.
I like colors too. I like pictures. Colors. I like graphs. I don't like just a bunch of words. And so what we try to do is we try to break down all those words on your statement, all those numbers into three colors, red, green, yellow. People are amazed when they come in, and most of their money is in the red category.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Now, red means high horsepower potential. It also means high loss potential. So you have to, it's a give and take. You can be willing to do that or that. Yellow means liquid money. You can get it anytime. It's not going to earn anything. Green gives you safe growth, but also gives you lifetime income. As we get closer to retirement, we need some green accounts. We need the green zone, we call it. In Baghdad, green zone was important. Green zone's important for you, too. The next 10 people, Adam, it's a $1,000 value. Golden ticket we're going to put together for you. Your very own total plan that has a green zone.
It's a traffic light. I hope it's green for you. 800-661-7383 or text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
She might not be ready.
Yep.
If that happened again, I could see her not being ready, but I don't think that's going to happen again. I will be shocked. She'll play at night, first round of the U.S. Open, either Monday or Tuesday. She will be a night match. First or second doesn't matter. She'll go on the court at night, and it could be the last time we see her.
Yeah.
Could be it. And it will be a massive, massive event, and tears will flow. Renee Stubbs, who covers tennis for ESPN, former player, on her impact on the sport.
You know, meeting her and Venus for the first time when they were kids, when they were like 12 years of age, and sort of getting to hit with them and getting asked, you know, what do you think, you know? And I said, oh, the little one I think is a little better, which ended up being pretty right. But, you know, and then watching them just change the sport in so many ways. And then obviously becoming friends with them and getting to know them even more and more through the years. You know, one of the great memories that I'll have is watching, you know, courtside them play that last Grand Slam against each other at the Australian Open, and you know, that embrace and that hug at the net. They transcended the sport. They changed the sport. They literally changed the color of the sport. You know, they got so many young black and brown young girls into tennis and little boys, and you know, that their legacy and Serena's legacy will live on for a long, long time.
I am so glad that Renee Stubbs brought that up because nothing could be more true. Boy, were they catalysts for that. And, Serena's just, she's the pinnacle, man. She's, we will miss that. Now, what's interesting about Serena for me, very quickly, is that she wasn't perfect.
No.
She had her episodes. She did threaten to shove a ball down a lines person's throat.
We've all been pushed before, so.
She was caught being coached from her coach's box and tried to pretend that it didn't happen. It happened, which, by the way, happens a lot.
Yes.
But she was unbelievable, great for tennis. And I also think that she was very vulnerable and human as a superstar. She choked away some matches.
Yeah.
We don't see Tiger Woods, other than in 2009 at the PGA Championship when he lost to Wai Yang. That's the only time Tiger Woods ever snatched defeat out of the jaws of victory. The only time in his career. And that's rare in golf. Serena Williams handed away some finals.
Multiple times.
She could have had more than the 23. She could have been a lot closer to 30 had that not happened. Gosh, I hope she does well. I hope she plays more than one match. All right, one quick thing before we get out of here. Rodolfo Castro plays for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and this happened last night. He's going from, I think he's trying to go from first to third. Anyway, he's sliding into third, and was that your phone?
Castro slides into third. His phone comes out of his pocket. Now, that's a first. And there's Adam Hamrick. Dude, your phone is down. Hey, right there.
Wow.
The umpire pointed to the phone. Castro picks it up, and then he starts to put it in his pocket. And then realizes, I probably shouldn't do this. And he tries to hand it to the third base coach. And the third base coach is disgusted.
Right. What are you doing?
He wants no part of this. He's actually, he appears to be this kid's parent at this point. Like, you're grounded.
Right. No phone for you for a week.
I can't believe
it's
I saw
insane.
That.
It's insane. People cannot get away from their cell phones today.
I can't believe that I saw that on a baseball field. That is an embarrassment.
Yes.
An utter embarrassment. I know my friend Damon Hack, when he takes PTO, doesn't just call into Golf Channel to talk to them, especially since he's on Golf Channel every single time I turn on the channel. And he joins us on The Adam Gold Show at Damon Hack GC on Twitter. I called it a 3-1 win for the PGA Tour. What do you think of that?
I like it, Adam and Victoria. Great to be with you both. Love the Hall & Oates bumper, by the way. And I think you're right. I'd say it was a 3-1 win, but it's like Friday of the Ryder Cup and not Sunday
right.
of the Ryder Cup. There's still more matches to come, but in this battle between LIV Golf and the PGA Tour, the PGA Tour walked away yesterday feeling good that this temporary restraining order, which Hudson Swafford, Taylor Gooch, and Matt Jones were seeking to compete in the FedEx Cup playoffs, was denied by this Judge Freeman out in California. So, yeah, one win for the PGA Tour, but more battles to come without question.
Yeah, and I think the battles, and we're going to get to those battles in a second because I want to get to one thing first, but I think those battles are going to be far more important than this one was. I thought the most important thing here that happened yesterday with the decision to deny the TRO was that at least the judge said that the PGA Tour has the right to enforce their own rules and own policies, because I think the ramifications for not, if they allowed these three players in, I think the PGA Tour was in a world of hurt if they couldn't enforce their own rules.
Oh, I agree with you. And the judge, while at the same time saying that the PGA Tour has the right to enforce their rules and regulations, also reprimanded them on a little bit of a lack of clarity as far as how the appeal process goes, because one of the big complaints of the LIV Golf players, and Taylor Gooch in particular, was that he was suspended. He appealed that suspension and didn't know the status of that appeal. And to the judge's credit, she called the PGA Tour on the carpet about that. So while ultimately ruling in favor of the PGA Tour in this matter, she did say there were some uncomfortable things that she saw and how the PGA Tour does its business. And I imagine that in the interim, the PGA Tour may have to look at some things in terms of how it operates with clarity and suspensions in the appeal process going forward.
Damon Hack of Golf Channel is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Yesterday, a judge in Northern California denied a temporary restraining order to three golfers who were trying to go from LIV to the PGA Tour's playoffs and then theoretically back to LIV for that first event. We'll talk about Cameron Smith here in a second. Do you think that the tour has been too heavy-handed with their suspensions? The Phil Mickelson suspension, which was at first just 2 months, and then when he played in the second in the first event, they tacked on a year, and then they tacked on another year. Do you think that essentially Jay Monahan has been too harsh with his treatment?
I don't. Phil Mickelson was actively recruiting PGA Tour players at PGA Tour events to go to live golf, to leave the PGA Tour, to essentially, denigrate, destabilize and to diminish the PGA Tour product. I think Jay Monahan had to be swift, had to be strong, and I think that ultimately he's vindicated. Because, listen, this is his job to protect the membership. It's why he desperately wanted to keep these three players out, didn't want to do anything to compromise the members of the tour who have been loyal to the product. So, no, I don't think he was too harsh on Mickelson, who was actively recruiting PGA Tour players at PGA Tour events to go patronize a different product.
And that's why he was suspended initially. Then he played in the first event, and they hit him with a year.
Right.
These guys are lifetime members. Phil and Dustin Johnson are both lifetime members of the PGA Tour. Do you think we will never see them again on the PGA Tour?
It's a great question. I think there's a distinct possibility with where this is headed. And we already know that the antitrust suit is the broader question. Yeah. I think it's very likely that we will not see them again, whether it's the suspension or the fact that a lot of these players on LIV have resigned. They've resigned. You know, the DJ's resigned his PGA Tour membership, even as a lifetime member. What's fascinating to me is that the judge is saying that you can't leave the PGA Tour and go play for LIV and then claim that this is somehow irreparable harm is being done when you're signing these contracts with LIV that are so exorbitant and so north of the money and the dollars that they were making on the PGA Tour. So I think we're starting to see kind of the beginning stages of how this case is going to be argued. The LIV golfers saying, you know, we have a right to be free agents and play wherever we want. And the PGA Tour is saying, well, you can't just have your cake and eat it, too.
Yeah, I have my problem with the have your cake and eat it, too, because if I have cake, I want to eat the cake. But that's just me and taking things too literally. Damon Hack of Golf Channel is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. But by not allowing those three players in, it avoids a very awkward situation. And as we've gotten closer to this thing, to the end of this particular chapter in this story, we've started to hear a lot more players. I talked to Billy Horschel last week on the show, and he went on for like 4 minutes. I asked him one thing. He went on for like 4 minutes, well beyond the time that we were supposed to be talking, about what he thinks of what those players are doing. Is it they do it? Let them do it. But just stay away from us. How would that have played out if these three guys were allowed into this event? There would have been. There has to be animosity.
There is animosity, and it's growing by the day. It went from, oh, well, you know, live and let live. These guys are, you know, pardon the pun. These guys are my friends. You know, everybody has a right to do what they want. But once that lawsuit was filed by these 11 ex-PGA Tour players or pending, these guys on the tour were like, hey, wait a second. Now you're coming for our daily bread. Because the LIV golfers are protected in that they're paying all the lawyers' fees. On the PGA Tour, that's coming out of the PGA Tour's pocket. So you have the Kevin Streelmans and the Billy Horschels and the Will Zalatorises saying that now you're actually hurting. You're leaving us, which is fine, but now you want to come back and you're taking us to court to try to come back. Strong words from Billy Horschel, Will Zalatoris, Kevin Streelman. We interviewed him, Golf Channel did, a couple days ago, and he said, listen, I'm friendly with Taylor Gooch, but if he shows up here, I'm not having breakfast or lunch with Taylor Gooch, considering he's a plaintiff in this case, which is costing me money. I think you're right. It's getting more and more contentious between the two sides. It would have been hugely awkward had those players actually been on the golf course in Memphis this week.
And then yesterday, the Cam Smith press conference, which was the shortest press conference I have ever seen for somebody who is almost definitely going to win the PGA Tour's Player of the Year. It was five questions. Four of them were about Liv. He didn't answer any of the four to anyone's satisfaction. How big of a middle finger is that going to be when Smith leaves, and I think after the FedEx Cup playoffs, for the Liv Tour?
Yeah, an incredibly wishy-washy answer from the Players' Champion and Open Champion. And I'll push back. I think Scottie Scheffler will be the Player of the Year in part because he has proven himself to be a PGA Tour loyalist, not to mention his four wins, including the Masters, whereas Cam Smith, his last two big opportunities in that press conference that you saw in Memphis and also the one at the Open Championship where he was very non-committal to the PGA Tour, saying, hey, I'm just, you know, I'm here, I'm focusing on this. Why are you asking me about that? Instead of saying, no, I'm definitely not going. So I think with that wishy-washiness, the PGA Tour membership, which votes for Player of the Year, gives them one more reason to back Scottie Scheffler for that honor.
See, this is why we talked to Damon Hack, because you are 100% right. It is a player vote, and it might be unanimous if Cam Smith does leave for Liv. He said he was going to play in the President's Cup. I hope he does. But if he doesn't, and if this event is so damaged, because we've all read rumors about other players also going. If this event is so damaged, I have an idea. Damon, I want your thoughts on this. Starting
what you got?
When 2 years from now, maybe even starting in a month and a half, PGA Tour versus Liv instead of the President's Cup. Who isn't going to watch that?
I tell you what, it would make for some great television. And it seems like that's kind of what we could be seeing develop depending on what the major championships do. If the major championships, as they did this summer, the Open and the U.S. Open, allow these Liv golfers to compete, you're essentially going to have a Sunday sometime down the road where it's Patrick Reed or Dustin Johnson, Liv golfers in the final group against a Rory McIlroy or a Jon Rahm or a PGA Tour golfer. So I think in some way, even short of that President's Cup scenario, we may be heading towards some big-time major championship Sundays where we see that kind of scenario play out.
Yeah, and then we could have Greg Norman and Fred Couples as the captain. Fred Couples has no time, zero time for what's going on with Liv. Fred Couples has been hysterical to follow with this whole thing. And, you know, it's unfortunate. I've talked about Norman before. Norman has seized the opportunity to carry out a 30-year vendetta. And I've always said his anger towards Tim Fincham mostly is justified. But, man, this is he is not doing the game any favors. Damon Hack, you are a gentleman. I appreciate your time. Best to you and yours. I know your kids are lacrosse players. I hope they're scoring tons of goals.
They're having a good summer, Adam. It's always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you so much.
Take care. Damon Hack. Follow him on Twitter, at Damon Hack GC. He's right about that. Cam Smith, if he would say, no, man, I ain't going to that. This is where I want to play. He's a slam dunk Player of the Year. Players Championship, Open Championship, final round 64, coming from four back to win. There's no doubt he wins. But players vote.
Yes.
And they're mad.
Yes.
And I'm okay for mad. But I am itch. I would love PGA Tour versus Liv in a Ryder Cup style thing. We could hit the ground running, and there could be like legitimate fisticuffs.
Sign me up.
Oh, I'd be all over that. All right, so we're doing this every day at about 2:30 or whenever we come back from that last break, where we take you to another NFL city to get you ready for the start of the season. And we are in Cincinnati. I have spent a really good night on Pete Rose Way. And look, there's Dennis.
I know. Look who's here.
Who can't really take PTO.
Nope.
How are you, man?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
What have you done today?
You know, I'm resting up. I have a hockey game tonight. And it's important because I learned this morning or last night, like a lot of people, the Canes need a top 6-4, and I skate top 6 minutes on my men's hockey league team.
Because there's only six players.
I gotta get ready for a tryout.
How many players do you have on your team?
Enough for me to be a top six. How about that?
So you're resting. A little. You should be napping.
Well, we had no morning skate today, so I slept.
Okay. Very good for you. All right, so we're in Cincinnati today. By the way, Victoria read all your picks. Shohei Ohtani's cashing for you.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope he cashes in. I know he hit a home run last night.
Did you have him last night?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that was the night you took off?
Yeah, imagine that.
You still won, though. You still won some stuff yesterday, so.
I did, actually. I don't think I was plus 35, I think.
You are on a roll. All right, sir, go ahead.
All right, so again, we're going to the banks of the Ohio River to Cincinnati. We are not crossing over into Kentucky, so we're not going to go to Newport where there's a casino. We're not going to do that. We got to stay inside of Cincinnati.
Man, so there's no reason to go to Kentucky, especially when we were in Detroit, and you wouldn't go to Windsor.
No, no, so, because the Lions don't play in Windsor.
Understood.
Just like the Bengals don't play in Newport or Covington.
Before you continue with Cincinnati, the University of Kentucky.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th anniversary wherever you get your podcast.
Which is located in Lexington, Kentucky. Every year used to play a regular season game in Cincinnati. Because Cincinnati is just across the river from Kentucky. They used to do it all the time. Just like they used to play a regular season game at Freedom Hall in Louisville. Which used to be Louisville's home court. Kentucky.
All right.
Bullies.
those jerks, Kentucky. Yeah. How dare they? All right. So we're going to, again, go to Cincinnati. There's a few things that Cincinnati is known for. Chili and barbecue. Now, for barbecue, for them, it's different than what we have here in the state of North Carolina. Obviously, North Carolina has their Eastern and Lexington styles. Mm-hmm. Cincinnati, they're more focused on the ribs, whereas, especially in Eastern North Carolina, it's the pork shoulder.
Right.
And pulled pork is the big thing. So in Cincinnati, it's the ribs are, as far as my understanding, the focus when it comes to barbecue.
Sure.
But chili is the big thing known in Cincinnati. So chili, the two main, I guess you say, competitors or big brands out there are Gold Star and Skyline. Now, there's actually, I've been to Kentucky where one of my best friends lives in Northern Kentucky, and we would actually go into Cincinnati. So I learned some of the different ways you can get chili in Cincinnati.
Right.
So, for example, they have what's called a three-way. This is a Gold Star name. Have what's called a three-name. It's a spaghetti with chili and with cheese on top of it.
Right.
So that's what's known as a three-way. Then you can get what's also known as a four-way. You can either get a four-way onion, so it's spaghetti, chili, cheese with onion, or a four-way with beans. So it's four-way, is spaghetti, chili, cheese, and then on top of it is beans as opposed to onions. Or you can get a five-way that has both onions and beans with it. So that is some different ways that you can order your chili in Cincinnati. And they also have what are known as conies as well. It's a hot dog with chili on it. Or you can get a cheese coney, which is a hot dog with chili and cheese. Right. So that's what they like to go by in Cincinnati when it comes to their chili. I know you're not a big fan of the chili.
Let me just interject. I'm sure the chili itself is fine. First of all, chili should have beans in it. When I make chili and I've won a green jacket. I won a contest. It's a long time ago and it really is irrelevant. But a good chili has beans in it. Yeah. You use the dark red kidney beans or light red. I use dark red. I've even done a black bean chili, which is actually good too. I don't see the point in wasting room that you could have more chili by putting it on spaghetti. Why am I doing that? If I need carbs, look, I'll get a slice of bread, or not a slice, a piece of bread, a good crusty bread. That's fine. Just eat
nice,
the
chili. Nice, hearty, crusty roll. I'm with you.
Just eat the chili. Beans, onions, cheese if you want. Look, if it's spicy, you can even throw a little sour cream in there to kind of just take the edge off the spice. My wife, my son do that. I prefer just a little bit of cheese, but man, you don't waste room with spaghetti.
I'm with
you. Just saying. The chili should be fine. I'm sure the chili is okay, but
I'm with you on this.
Spaghetti.
All right, there are a couple actual tours. So after you get some chili, you probably want to walk off some of the stuff that you ate, right? Mm-hmm, you got to burn off some of those calories. Yeah. There are actually some underground tours that you can actually explore in Cincinnati. So these go underneath different parts of the city, some different tunnels and such. These are guided tours, which are you know, obviously good. Don't you just roam in this by yourself. And also, apparently, there's a hidden crypt underneath Cincinnati as part of these tours that you can go see. I didn't know, realize that Legends of the Hidden Temple, I'm sorry, Victoria gets that reference, was in Cincinnati.
Aren't all crypts by nature hidden?
I guess.
I mean, are there any out crypts that are out in the open? Maybe there are. I don't know.
I guess those are mausoleums.
Didn't we do a mausoleum tour yesterday?
We did in LA. Or, I'm sorry, in Inglewood, California. Right. So we did. So we shifted our focus from pinball museums to places to go observe the dead.
That's fun.
This is the NFL for you, ladies and gentlemen. That is true. We're just simply messengers. That's all we are. But also while you're underground, there are actually some brewery tunnels. There's a Link Brewery Tunnels and Jackson Brewery Tunnels. And apparently Johnny Cash filmed a movie while he was down there.
Really?
Yeah.
All right, then that's good. Then I'm there.
So, of course, we got to put a brewery everywhere, right? That's just where we are nowadays. So, yeah, underground tunnels, there's a crypt, and go have a beer. Why not?
I'm with you on that. Look, I love breweries. Just give me a brewery somewhere. I'm all about it.
Underneath the city of Cincinnati to go do that.
All right.
But the big thing, the most important thing they need to go get while you're there, you need to stop by Wyoming Pastry Shop. They've been around since 1934, serving up donuts and milk.
Wait, Wyoming?
That's the place you got. There's a town or neighborhood in Cincinnati called Wyoming Neighborhood.
Okay.
And that's where they got the name from. So it's Wyoming Pastry Shop. Again, been around since 1934. That's actually our oldest donut shop now on our NFL city list.
Do they have a specialty? Do they make and do they put donuts on spaghetti?
I hope they do. I hope they do just to make you mad, Adam. But they also do pastries, cookies, breads, cakes, the whole deal. Like, but donuts is where they got their start.
All right, cool. By the way, I meant to bring this up, but I had forgotten the name off the top of my head. Our friend Bane, who actually gave us a shout-out yesterday on TikTok.
Yeah.
Bane is part of the Casitas Brewery in Wilson.
Yes.
And they've gotten rave reviews, so shouts to Casitas in Wilson, North Carolina.
Is it underground next to a crypt?
No, apparently not. It is above Terra Firma. So you can actually see it from the street.
Very cool.
Which is, I think,
there you go. I might just swing out there. I have all this free time now, so I might have to go swing out there.
No, but you keep wasting your free time by coming on this show.
Well, you know, Adam, I listened to the start of the show. I'm sorry I didn't get a tattoo today. Maybe at some point, maybe I'll get another one.
Hey, look.
You know, I'll get number five while doing this segment, actually.
This is maybe the way it works. This is the way it works. When we're not here, mm-hmm. shots will be taken.
Oh, of course. Absolutely. Right?
Like, Permar made fun of me.
Yeah.
Right? When I'm not here. And it's just going to happen.
But I expect it.
Take it as a take it as less. a term of endearment, if you will.
I do. I do. You know, I've got some video games I got to play. I've got to go buy. It's Wednesday. It's new comic book day. So I got to go swing by my comic book store. So I got a lot of stuff I got to do today.
So we have
a lot of things.
What are you going to get?
Oh, I don't know what was pulled this week for me. Okay. I got to go check and see.
Oh, wait a second. You're like a member of a comic book club. So they have something set aside.
Well, I subscribe to certain books and titles that they pull for me. I just forgot what came out this week, so I'm not entirely sure. So when I go there, it's gonna be like, oh, like a little surprise.
All right, man, that's awesome. I hope it's something better than an Archie comic.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Over the crossbar, and the Hurricanes have won the Stanley Cup.
June 19, 2006, but it all started May 6, 1997 with the announcement that the Hartford Whalers were coming to North Carolina. It's a story of transition, of heartbreak, of figuring it out on the fly. The Canes Corner look at the 25th anniversary of the move. Presented by the Aluminum Company of North Carolina. Listen now. Find Canes 25th Anniversary wherever you get your podcasts.